Welcome back to Business Matters with me, Roger Hearing, and my guest today, Beck Wilson and David Kuo. Now, Beck, you're a first timer on the show. We said welcome earlier, but welcome once again. It's kind of a tradition. We find out about you, find out about who you are, where you come from, what you do, all those kind of things. So let's start. You admitted just a few moments ago that you're Australian, but you're in San Francisco. How did that come about?
I am. And I live in New York, so I'm getting more and more global. Yeah. I worked for Change.org 5 years ago, based out of Australia, and was lucky enough to get to come back now, move to New York, and start working with the hundreds of thousands and of Americans who start campaigns on the site.
Well, we'll talk about Change.org itself in just a moment. But first of all, let's go right the way back now, back to Australia. Whereabouts in Australia did you come from?
I'm from Sydney. I live in Redfern, which is the heart of Aboriginal political Sydney, and really close to our beautiful harbour.
And you were born there? That you brought up there?
Born there, but lived in upstate New York as a kid, also in Greece and Sweden. Travelled a bit, in fact.
Well, why was that? Was it your parents or you just where you wanted to
travel? Yeah, my father's a radiologist and had the chance to teach in universities around the world.
And so growing up, what was you know, you're now working for a major organisation to do with sort of really bringing, well, literally bringing change to the world in various forms. But, you know, why did you not go off and, I don't know, become a highly enriched banker or, I don't know, do all kinds of other things you might have done? What was the moment where you thought, no, actually, I want to do something that's really going to make a big difference to ordinary people?
Yeah, so I wasn't one of those kid activists like a lot of the young people I get to work with now. But when I was 23 and a single parent, I thought I'd better get myself a trade, and I went back to university to learn computer science. And while I was there, my son had remarkable access to childcare. It was very cheap and wonderful quality care. And my fellow female students who were international students didn't have that same access to care. It was very expensive for them. And so that was my first taste of trying to change something. It took us 2 years, and I was really proud to win some subsidies for my friends and colleagues.
So that's really interesting. That was a personal experience you had that sort of drew you into that. Because prior to that, did you have ideas about what you do with your life, or were you just...
Not at all. As I said, I was studying coding. I thought I was going to end up being a programmer. Good that I didn't, because I wasn't great at it. But that was my first taste of really what I think of as shifting power, and it's addictive. I've done it ever since.
That must have been a tough time, though, you know, being 23, single parent, trying to find your way. I mean, you know, it's tough in any environment, but I would have thought it was definitely a tough call, and trying to decide what you want to do, but also to try and make the best for you and of course, your child.
It was tough, but it was also exciting. And I think it's because I found what I think everyone is looking for, community and meaning in that work. I found a real connection of peers who supported me right through my degree and who are still friends. And I found really meaningful, admittedly unpaid, work in that campaign.
Well, that was the other point I was going to come on to. You haven't chosen an area where you're going to make a lot of money in your life, have you?
No, I haven't, although I've got to say I do fine. And lots of people who are kind of at the grindstone of change making are people doing it outside of their day-to-day work because they can't help but step into something that they see needs changing.
And that's you. So let's think about that. Tell us, I mean, change.org, I mean, it's a very familiar word, combination of words. What is it? Where does it come from? What's the whole point of it?
So Change.org is an open platform, essentially a website that makes it possible for anyone anywhere to start and win the change they want to see in the world. Anyone can come, start a petition, find support, and make that change.
And that is the mechanism, I mean, the .org bit. It's you go online, you get support, it's almost a crowdfunding of change, is that right?
That's exactly right, a crowdsourcing of change. And it's happening every day. A million more people signed change petitions this month. 15,000 people started in North America, started petitions this month, 65,000 around the world. So it's no longer the case that can websites be a part of change making is a question. It's a reality. It's happening all the time.
And we use the word change. I mean, change in what direction, to what purpose? I mean, would you describe yourselves as a left-wing organization? Would that be the right way to see it?
Absolutely not. We're an open platform, so people start petitions on the issues that matter to them. For example, right now, Teresa and Brianna are women whose partners were affected by the heat in UPS and FedEx delivery trucks that don't have air conditioning.
So they were doing deliveries and they had a bad experience, obviously.
They did. One of them had heat stroke and associated kidney failure. And sparked by the death of a delivery driver 2 weeks ago in California, hundreds of thousands of people are now joining Teresa and Brianna's campaigns.
And what did they do? They sign up. And that's the first thing. They put their names to this campaign.
That's right. They put their name to the campaign, and those every few thousand signatures, those companies are notified. Brianna and Teresa themselves have started to produce some video content to share with those people who've signed. They have done some media interviews calling on UPS and FedEx to make these changes, and they're going to keep going and engaging those people who've signed the petition until FedEx and UPS and even the United States Postal Service agree to put air conditioning in those trucks or otherwise protect those drivers.
Okay, now you said it's not a political organisation in the sense of taking a particular political stance, but would you literally accept any kind of petition? Someone came along and said, "I want a petition to, I don't know, paint the pavements, the sidewalks in San Francisco pink." Would you say, "Yes, that's fine. We'll sign up," and you could do that through the mechanism? Is there any kind of filtering?
Yeah. The only petitions that we rule out are those that promote hate or violence. That's clearly
unacceptable. So literally anything else would be fine.
Yeah. And if someone wants to paint the sidewalks in San Francisco pink, good on them. If they can find the support and put the pressure on the city and enough other people agree, then I think they should be able to push for that change.
What do you do in the organisation? You're simply facilitating, you're coordinating. What's your function in all this?
Yeah, so I work with a small team of campaigners and organisers who amplify the kind of biggest campaigns, the ones that speak to national issues, the ones that have a chance of winning, the ones that are resonating with Americans and Canadians.
So you have a look and see what's coming up online and on this website and say, yes, that's one we can get behind.
Exactly. That's growing very quickly. That is going to be of interest to lots more people. Let's give the people who've signed other change.org petitions a chance to see if they're interested in that one and amplify and escalate in that way.
But let me put this to you. I mean, you're in America, you're in California, you're in a democratic state where people elect officials, they elect sheriffs, they elect local councillors, they elect senators, they elect Congress people. They should be the mechanisms for getting change, surely. I mean, there's already an existing system that should do that.
There is, but I would argue that a vote every 2 or 4 years is a very small part of our democratic potential. And what's exciting to me is to see people finding other ways to participate, to use the power of joining with others to make the change they want to see. And on top of that, what we're mostly seeing is corporate, on change.org at least, is corporate accountability. Big companies especially aren't necessarily as accountable to their consumers as they could be. And what's most exciting is that through sites like change.org, they can see what their consumers care about beyond the whether or not they're purchasing the product and do something about it.
David, are you impressed by change.org and what it does?
Yeah, but you know what my question is going to be now, Roger, don't you?
Enlighten me.
Okay, how do you make money? How does change.org or change.org make money? And who pays your wages back?
All right, good question. What's the answer?
Yeah, so our revenue comes from the people and the organizations that use the site. And the two main ways are people can be members if they believe in the power of the platform and they want to sustain it so that everyone can make the change they want to see, then they donate as much as they can or want to monthly. And the other way is promoting the petitions. So say, for example, I'm interested to sign Brianna's petition getting UPS to introduce air conditioning to cars. Once I sign it, I'm asked, do I want to help promote that petition? Do I want to advertise it to other people who might sign it? And because I care about Brianna and her partner and the air conditioning, yeah, I'll put $3 behind that.
But that sounds like very small amounts of money. I mean, is that enough to pay the people who need to be involved?
It certainly is. As I said, there's millions of people using the site every day, and they're finding value in promoting those petitions and campaigns to others and helping them find an audience.
So, David, do you see how it works? You would think it's a good thing? It's working in the right way?
Yes. Well, I am very impressed with what Beck does. I have a follow-up question, if I might, Roger.
Please.
Which is, okay, are there countries that you would not venture into? For instance, certain countries that are slightly oppressive, for instance, and would you actually sort of dip your toes into those kind of countries to try and liberate those people, Beck?
Mm, Beck, what do you think?
There are countries we can't operate in. The Change.org site is blocked in China, for example. And then, in addition, there are countries where we do operate, but there are increased risks for our users. As you know, in Thailand, it is illegal to criticize the king. So we take extra effort to make sure the people who use the site can be anonymous or are only represented by their first name in Thailand. So yes, we will venture into those markets where it's possible and where there's demand and where we can.
Mm, but it obviously has its limitations. I mean, David, it's a point you'd expect, isn't it, really? The world is not flat in that sense.
That's right.
Well, kind of, yeah. And so, therefore, how far are you going to go to protect the anonymity of those people? I mean, if you were under an intense pressure from certain governments that say, I need to know who these people are, because what they're doing may be seditious or subversive in some ways. I mean, would you then be prepared to reveal who those people are, Beck?
Speaking for myself, I absolutely wouldn't. And the recent compliance with GDPR legislation
the privacy and data protection.
That's right. That's right, which will protect our users from those challenges.
And that's what you go with. Wow. Well, it's a fascinating organization, I have to say. And how many countries do you operate in?
Well, we have teams in 18 countries. The site is accessible globally. I even looked, we don't have a team in Pakistan. We don't campaign in Urdu. And yet, when I looked today, coming on, looking to talk about Pakistan, there were dozens of petitions started on all kinds of issues, even though we don't resource it in that way.
And what about Singapore? Are you operating in Singapore?
We don't have a team there, but yes, absolutely, people start campaigns in Singapore.
Well, there we are. David, I think the call is going out. We'll see where it all ends up.
What should my campaign be then, Roger? What should I campaign for,
That's
Roger?
That's only something you, a resident, can possibly say. I'm treading very carefully.
Perhaps
here.
A nightclub that you and your son can go to.
Yes, these things are circular, are they not? Right, okay, we'll draw a line at that point, I think. But thanks very much to both of you on that.